turn is a reminder. Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, an intimate local Christian church with a worldwide impact. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Thanks for listening to this Bible lesson. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord wants Christians to live love. The Lord wants Christians to live love. Well, you've probably heard this Bible passage at every wedding you've ever gone to. And maybe not in the detail that this one will be in, but it goes like this. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. If I, Paul, speak with human tongues, and I do, and if I speak with the tongues of angels, and I do, but I don't have unconditional love as my foundation, I become like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. 1 Corinthians 13, 2. If I, Paul, have the gift of prophecy, and I do, and if I know all mysteries, and I have all knowledge, and I do, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, that is, if I'm able to do the impossible, and I am, but to not have unconditional love, I am nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, 3, and if I, Paul, give all my possessions to feed the poor in philanthropy, and I do, and if I surrender my body to be burned in martyrdom, and I do, but don't have unconditional love, it profits me nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Unconditional love is patient. Unconditional love is kind and it is not jealous. Unconditional love does not brag and is not arrogant. Unconditional love does not act unbecomingly. Unconditional love does not seek its own. Unconditional love is not provoked. Unconditional love does not take into account a wrong suffered. 1 Corinthians 13, 6. Unconditional love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but unconditional love rejoices with the truth. 1 Corinthians 13, 7. Unconditional love bears all things. Unconditional love believes all things. Unconditional love hopes all things. Unconditional love endures all things. Unconditional love never fails. Well, see, you probably heard that passage without the unconditional in front of love. And it brings to mind this romantic love, but that's not what God is saying through this passage. You've heard the passage, but the word unconditional is always left out. Human love can't sustain a marriage. Let me repeat that, because I don't believe you had me. Human love, which is conditional love, cannot sustain a marriage. Unconditional love is what never fails. Well, what is unconditional love? It's a love without expectations. It means loving someone regardless of their actions or circumstances. It means not basing love on what someone does for you in return. It means loving someone as they are with no strings attached. It means caring about someone's happiness without any concern for how it benefits you. That's unconditional love. As we continue our study of Romans chapter 13 today, a three-verse passage, we'll learn all we need to know about Christianity. And what do we need to know about Christianity? Our Lord wants us to live unconditional love. Well, let's hear some music. At Barah Ministries, we like teaching the Bible from God's perspective, not from man's perspective. And June Murphy, under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, likes writing and singing songs from God's perspective as well. Here's one of her best, "When I Say I Love You."
I say
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for loving us as you do, unconditionally. Thank you for forgiving us as you do, completely. Thank you for teaching us the importance of how to treat others when they make mistakes, with grace. And thank you for being the perfect example of how to love, how to forgive, and how to be gracious. Thank you for being our example of how to be. As you teach us about unconditional love today, help us bring to mind all those closest to us with whom we are conditional in our love. Open our spiritual eyes so that we can see. Open our spiritual ears so we can hear. Open our spiritual heart so we can feel the message you're sending to us today about the importance of loving others unconditionally. And keep us from saying to ourselves, oh, this message would be perfect for someone else, not me. Instead, let the message penetrate so we learn to love others as you do. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, say it with me. Amen. Amen. Today's Bible lesson. The Lord wants Christians to live love. The Lord wants Christians to live love. On January 15, 2009, an Airbus A320 taking off from LaGuardia Airport in New York City struck a flock of Canadian geese and lost power in both engines. About 4 minutes after colliding with the birds, the plane's captain, Sully Sullenberger, landed the jet in the Hudson River. The passengers and crew exited the plane into inflatable rafts. Emergency responders were on the scene in minutes. A number of the passengers were treated for hypothermia. If you're over 50, that's what would happen to you. I always laugh when I'm on the on a plane and they show you those yellow jackets and they say, you know, if In the event of a water landing, put on your jacket and put it on. And I always tell the flight attendants, yeah, so they can find your body after you die of hypothermia in about 30 minutes. So a number of the passengers were treated for hypothermia, but only 5 people suffered more serious injuries. So here's my question for you. If you were on that plane, would you feel any obligation to help other people on the plane to get to safety? Would the life of another person, perhaps someone you didn't even know, be as important or more important than your own life? According to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, love, unconditional love, is the most important quality a person can possess. Unconditional love. What does our life mean if we don't have unconditional love for ourselves and for our fellow man? This is the subject of today's short passage in Romans chapter 13, love. In Greek, it's agapao love, as contrasted with phileo love. Unconditional love is agapao love. Phileo love is brotherly love. And we studied that earlier in Romans 12. Anyway, here's the passage. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. Owe nothing to anyone except to keep on loving one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled God's law. Romans 13, 9. For you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And any other command is summed up in this one. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself, unconditionally. Romans 13, 10. Unconditional love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, unconditional love is the fulfillment of God's law. The New Testament describes unconditional love as a debt. In effect, it says, owe no debt to anyone except the debt to love one another. Is that your mindset when you're interacting with others? especially those that you don't know? Are you thinking, I owe you unconditional love? That's unlikely. Is that our attitude toward those we love? Are we thinking, you know, you're being a real butthead lately, yet I love you unconditionally. I owe it to you. That's simply not the way we think. Today's short passage packs a punch. The Bible is filled with commands for us to love unconditionally. And the Lord wants us to love others more than we love ourselves. He wants us to love those who are hostile to us. He wants us to love those who have harmed us. He wants us to love those who persecute us. He wants us to love those who don't love us back. And he wants us to love those we don't like. The Lord even wants us to love our enemies. The Lord contends that if we don't have unconditional love, even toward our enemies, we miss the whole point of the resurrection life that the Lord gives us. As 1 Corinthians 13 says, we are simply a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal if we don't have unconditional love. Here's an example of the love the Lord wants for us. An expert in the Mosaic Law was arguing with the Lord in an attempt to provoke him. The Lord teaches the lawyer a lesson that the lawyer did not want to learn. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. A lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, the teacher part was an insult. And then, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Nothing. Luke chapter 10, verse 26. Jesus said to him, What is written in the law, lawyer? How does it read to you? Luke 10, 27. The lawyer answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Luke 10, 28. And Jesus said to the lawyer, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. Luke chapter 10, 29. But wishing to justify himself for not doing these things, the lawyer said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus said to the lawyer, A Jewish man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Luke 10, 31. And by chance, a Jewish priest was going down on that road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Luke 10, 32. Likewise, a Jewish Levite also, when he came to the place and saw the man, passed by on the other side. Luke 10, 33. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon the man, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion. Luke 10, 34. And the Samaritan came to the man, bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put the man on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Luke 10, 35. On the next day, the Samaritan took out 2 denarii, 2 full days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper and said, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Luke 10, 36. Which of these, Jesus asks, which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? The priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan? The Jews hated Samaritans. And it probably went in reverse. Samaritans probably hated Jews. But we get this term, the Good Samaritan, from Samaritans. This guy who knew that he was helping a Jew and helped him anyway. So this story is a perfect illustration of real love, unconditional love. There was no reason for the Samaritan to help a Jewish man, even 2 of the beaten man's landsmen, and that's, you know, other Jews, didn't help. But the Samaritan stopped to help. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 46, the Lord tells us how to treat others. He says, if you love only those who love you, maybe you will, maybe you won't, you have a choice. That's a third class condition. What reward do you have? Don't even tax collectors, the scum of the earth, do the same? Now you know the significance of an earlier question. If you were on a plane that went down in the Hudson River on that fateful day in 2009, would you feel any obligation to help the other people on the plane get to safety? Would you love? Unconditional love is from the heart. Unconditional love works from the inside out. Unconditional love is a mindset, not an emotion. In God's view, this unconditional love is not only directed to other Christians. It is to be directed to unbelievers as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, the Lord commands, "Let all that you do be done in unconditional love." Unconditional love is a payment that others don't deserve. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, the apostle reveals God's loving attitude. John says, "We know unconditional love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for all of us. And so we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren as well." What are we to do as Christians? We are to emulate our God. He loved us unconditionally. We're to love others unconditionally. We are not to point out other people's flaws and forget conveniently about our own. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. Matthew 22, 35, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, testing him. Matthew 22, 36, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" Matthew 22, 37, Jesus said to the lawyer, "You shall love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Matthew 22, 38, "This is the great and foremost commandment." Matthew 22, 39, "The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself." Matthew 22, 40, "On these two commandments depend the whole law and all the prophets." What kind of love are we talking about there? Unconditional love. The Jewish Torah, the first five books of the Bible written by Moses under the Lord's direction, offer well over 700 commands about conduct. Yet the Lord says that all of these commands fit nicely under the umbrella of two commands. Matthew 22, 37, "You shall love the Lord your God unconditionally with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Why wouldn't you love the Lord unconditionally? Why would you ever be mad at God? You ever heard Christians say that? "I'm mad at God." I have a friend, a Jewish friend, whose mother died very early, and when I was talking to her and evangelizing to her, she went berserk. And she said, don't say anything to me about God. He took my mom." Okay. Matthew 22, 39 is the other. "You shall love your neighbor unconditionally as you love yourself unconditionally." Do you love yourself unconditionally, by the way? Or are you always beating yourself up in your mind? "I can't believe I did that. I'm so stupid." Biblical love is not, "I'm no longer getting, so I'm no longer giving." That's not the way Christians think. "I'm no longer getting, so I'm no longer giving." That's not unconditional. Unconditional love is no matter what love. We love because of the way the Lord loved us. We owe a debt to the one who loved us unconditionally, enough to die in our place. We were born headed straight to hell, and the Lord Jesus Christ stepped in so we would not get paid the wages for our sin, and the wages for our sin is death, the second death in the lake of fire. Spiritual death is the first death. Second death is eternity in the lake of fire. Well, God is asking us to pass on his unconditional love to others. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, that means divinely loved believers in Christ. If God so loved us unconditionally, and he did, we also ought to love one another unconditionally. Amen? Amen. So when we return from the break, we'll take the offering and then we'll look at these three verses in more detail. Take a 5-minute break.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. For the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history.
Going down in history.
As another blood-bought, faithful member of the family.
That's all I ever want to be.
And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Just a nobody,
nobody
trying to tell everybody all about somebody.
Ooh.
Who saved my soul.
Save my soul.
Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Thank you.
wants Christians to live love. The Lord wants Christians to live love. Well, did Jesus ever think about money? Rarely. What the Lord did think about was giving. As you think about giving today and every day, let your attitude reflect the Lord's giving attitude. Excuse me. As communicated in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, which says, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself said, 'It's more blessed to give than to receive.'" Since you benefit from the Lord's thoughts in these Bible lessons, it just makes sense to contribute to the workers who communicate his thoughts to you. Give generously, just as the Lord gives, and watch what the Lord credits back to your account. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall with one of his always inspiring offering messages.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Denny Goodall, and I'm blessed to be a deacon at Brah Ministries because I've learned by studying here that living in the light of Christ inspires us to not fear. And when we don't fear, we have absolute hope. We have absolute confidence in God, and we learn to love. And love becomes much easier when you don't fear. We see in John chapter 8, verse 12, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Living in the light removes fear. When we walk in the light of Christ, we no longer have to live in fear. Darkness breeds uncertainty, doubt, and worry. But Jesus promises that those who follow him will have the light of life. This means we don't have to be afraid of unknown because he is our guide. Just as a lamp lights a path, Christ illuminates our way, showing us how to live in faith and trust instead of fear. Living in light inspires love and hope. The light of Christ doesn't just remove fear, it fills us with love and hope. When we are no longer stumbling in darkness, we begin to see the needs of others. His love in us compels us to love those around us, to encourage, to uplift, and to bring hope to the hurting. The more we walk in his light, the more we reflect his character, spreading his love and hope in our homes, at work, and at church. You see, living in light moves us to give. A heart full of love and hope naturally becomes a heart, a giving heart. When we recognize all that Christ has done for us, bringing us out of darkness, filling us with his presence, and giving us all a specific purpose, we are moved to give back. Giving at church is not just about obligation. It's an act of gratitude, and it's an act of worship. When we walk in his light, generosity flows freely, because we trust that God will provide all that we need. Jesus is the light of the world, and following him means walking in confidence, walking in love, and walking in generosity. When we live in his light, fear fades, love grows, and giving becomes a joyful response to his goodness. So today, let's step fully into his light and give with grateful hearts, knowing that we are part of something eternal. Brah Ministries is eternal. What we learn here lasts forever. And it's the most important thing in our life. So thank you for always giving, and thank you for being a part of this ministry. And I hope that we light Pastor's path much better so that he doesn't slip in his sandals, slip in his... and he doesn't have to fear. And thank you for protecting him as he fell, so it wasn't much worse. So I thank you very much, Pastor, for always fighting the good fight, and I appreciate everybody here fighting the good fight. So thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord wants Christians to live love. The Lord wants Christians to live love. Well, thank you, Deacon Denny, for outing me. I was on a trip this week and stumbled and fell face first into a concrete brick wall. So I have a nice split lip, probably a couple of cracked teeth, and a nice gigantic gash in my ear and the whole right side of my face. Makes it really difficult to chew. But I'm a tough guy. You know, bring on the walls. Bring on the falls. I don't care. I don't have to fear because God's got me. But boy, it could have been worse. If I had fallen face first in that wall, I might be looking like a hockey player today, which would be awful. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord wants Christians to live love. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Let's look at this three-verse passage, verse by verse. Here's Romans 13, 8. Do not keep on owing anything to anyone, except owing the debt you owe to God, to love one another unconditionally. Notice the continuous action of that. So you may pay your bills, and at the end of paying your bills in a particular month, you just breathe a sigh of relief. You go, but you don't get any sigh of relief, according to the Lord, as it relates to passing on unconditional love to others. He wants us to live love. And that debt is never fully paid, because as soon as you pay it, you got to pay it again and again and again. For he who loves his neighbor unconditionally has fulfilled God's law. The Christian way of living can be summed up in a word, love. And if it was summed up in two words, unconditional love. We are not to be irritated with the things we see going on around us. I don't believe you heard me. So I'm going to say it again. We are not to be irritated about the things we see going on around us. Man, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. The world has always been horrible because the ruler of this world has no integrity and no ability to lead. So stop looking at the things around you and being irritated with them. We're not irritated with people. Instead, we are to remember at all times that the Lord is in charge of the universe and nothing happens without his permission. So anything you're looking at that you're irritated by, the Lord allowed it. And everything he does is perfect. So him allowing it is perfect. Relax in that. So we can love what we see, whether good or evil, knowing that our God is for good and against evil. We don't have to right the wrongs of the world except as God directs. Love is a great way to right the wrongs of the world. So we take Moses' advice to the Jews as they fled Egypt. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again." Exodus 14, 14, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. I think about that in so many contexts, especially the context of people who are married. Those of you who are married know what the battle is of being married. You know what the battle is of having a spouse that's not on your side. You know the battle of loving unconditionally. It's a big, big challenge, but it's exactly what God expects of us. And what he doesn't expect is for you to do that alone. He gives you God the Holy Spirit indwelling. He gives you the whole Trinity indwelling. And that power that's in you to love unconditionally is the exact same power that resurrected Christ from the dead. Amen? In Galatians chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, the Lord says it another way. For neither is physical circumcision anything, nor is uncircumcision anything, but a new creation is everything. We, as church-age believers, are the new creation. The old things passed away. We are the new thing that has come. Galatians 6:16. And those who will walk by this rule, the law of Christ, love, peace, and mercy be upon them. What is the new creation? You are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in union with Christ, and all believers in Christ are, there is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. I know that when you got up this morning and you looked at your ugly face in the mirror, your unshaven face, men and women, and when you looked at yourself in the mirror, I'm sure that the first thing that came to your mind is, look at me. Look at that new creation, right? Nah, that's not what you thought. You thought, I can't believe I got this belly on me. Look at that face with all those stitches in it. How am I going to shave on that side? That's what I was wondering this morning. Well, unconditional love is conduct becoming of the new creation. Romans chapter 13, verse 9. For these are commands from the Lord. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. Coveting is wanting something that belongs to somebody else. And if there is any other command, it is summed up in this one. You shall love your neighbor just as you love yourself, unconditionally. The Lord knew you might not remember 700 commands, but he knew you could remember three. Love God, love self, love others, all in. Do you remember the self-esteem movement? We were told that we need to have high self-esteem. And if we didn't have high self-esteem, we had low self-esteem. Of course, if your self-esteem is too high, you're selfish, you're arrogant. Well, and then we were told we need to raise children with high self-esteem. Well, if there's anything that ruins kids fast, that's it, raising them with high self-esteem. This is what participation trophies came from. You know, the kids do nothing and we reward them. When my kids brought home participation trophies, we marched them right up into the garage and smashed them into 100 pieces. You want to bring home a first place, a second place, or third place? We can keep the trophy. You bring home a participation trophy, we're going to smash it into 100 pieces. And there are a lot of people who thought, God, you're such a cruel person for doing that. No. Nope. No. Well, how can you tell if you have high self-esteem? When you see a giant dose of self-justification, which describes the modus operandi of every person on earth, you probably have self-justification. Because we always want to give ourselves a break. We always are willing to overlook our own weaknesses and struggles. Romans chapter 13, verse 10, unconditional love does not keep on doing wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, when we demonstrate unconditional love, put that up, Denny. When we demonstrate unconditional love for others, it's the fullness of God's law. Love is an expression. Every act is an expression of your unconditional love. Christianity is a lifestyle of love. The Apostle Paul considered his ministry to be an expression of love. Romans chapter 1, verse 14, he said, I, Paul, am under obligation, an obligation of debt, both to Greeks, that's people who speak Greek, and to barbarians, and that was people who don't speak Greek, the barbaros. Both to the wise, that's believers in Christ, and to the foolish, and that's unbelievers. What is the first fruit of the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of God the Holy Spirit is unconditional love. That's the first fruit. Joy and peace in yourselves. Patience, kindness, and goodness toward others. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in your relationship with God. Against such virtues, there is no law. Obeying authority is a form of unconditional love. Paying taxes is a form of unconditional love. Love is an unpaid debt that we never finish paying. As you assess yourself in prayer, check to see how you love. God wants you to love from the inside out. God wants you to love all the time. God wants you to love those you don't like. Unconditional love requires God's help, and when he helps, his love never fails. Amen? All right, well, the next 10 minutes of your life could be the 10 most important minutes of your life, because you'll be introduced to the good news concerning how you can spend all eternity in heaven when you close your eyes in this life. We want you to know that God wants you. And what he wants for you is that you make the most important decision of your life. The Lord Jesus Christ created you. He loves you unconditionally. He forgives you for every sin you'll ever commit. He offers you grace when you make mistakes. He has always had you in mind for all eternity. He knows your name. He wants the best for you. Have you ever had a human being love you in that way? Doubtful. Well, if you don't yet have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he considers you to be spiritually dead, a sinner who needs a Savior. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all creatures have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, there is no creature who is righteous, not even one. It's written. So your condition at physical birth is not your fault, but it is your circumstance. Spiritual death caused by sin is a barrier between us and God. Spiritual death is the first death. Eternity in the lake of fire is the second death. And it's your eternal fate if you close your eyes in this life as an unbeliever. If you close your eyes in this life without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not want the second death. God wants you to have a spiritual life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says, all in union with Adam at physical birth, and that's every human being who comes to the earth, are set to die the second death in the lake of fire. But all who are in union with Christ will be made spiritually alive by God. The Lord provides you with the Bible to illuminate the spiritual life, which is your path to heaven. John chapter 20, verse 31 says, these things written in the Bible have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord who took on human form, and that by believing in him, you may have the resurrection life, eternal life, in his name. The Bible contains the Lord's exact thinking. It is your owner's manual for life. And the good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ did something about your sin problem. He has a plan for your salvation because he doesn't want anyone to go to the lake of fire. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of. Instead, he is patient toward unbelievers, not wishing for any to perish in the lake of fire, but for all to come to repentance, which is a voluntary change of mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. By your own choice, you can be spiritually alive, making you special in God's sight. Psalm 116, verse 15 says this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones, his saints, his spiritually alive believers in Christ. Why would that be? Because he's going to see him in heaven for all eternity. The fact that God wants you and has made a way for you to be spiritually alive is a great thing to know, especially as you get older, because everyone dies. What's going to happen to you when you close your eyes in this life? Will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? It's your choice. How can you get to heaven? Right where you sit right now, you can tell God the Father that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the moment of eternal life for you. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved by God, you and everyone in your household who also believes. The one way, the only way to get to heaven is through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to the doubting apostle Thomas, I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the word of God, the gospel message. And I am the resurrection life. And no one comes to God the Father in heaven but through believing in me. Well, who is this God who saves you? The Apostle Paul describes the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. He says, I, Paul, deliver to you as of primary importance the gospel message I also received from God, that it was Jesus Christ who died for our sins according to the Old Testament scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead on the third day, according to the Old Testament scriptures. Believing in Christ is acknowledging that you can't do a thing to get to heaven on your own. You confirm that being a good person does not get you to heaven. It is wiser to let God save you, because once God does something, he never changes his mind. John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, give eternal life to believers in Christ, and no one will snatch them out of my hands. John 10, 29. And my Father, God the Father, who has given believers in Christ to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch believers in Christ out of my Father's hands either. You can't lose your salvation. And if anyone tells you you can lose your salvation, they are lying to you. Now, God has an enemy, Satan, who is the ruler of this world. He creates counterfeit lifestyles to blind your mind. His strategy against the human race is religion. And the religions of the world mislead you into thinking you're saved when you might not be. Satan wants you to believe you can work your way into heaven, earning your own salvation. Well, what happens if you reject the relationship with Christ? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 30, the Lord shares the consequences. He says, throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, the lake of fire. And in that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So heed the warning and accept the invitation of John chapter 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son of God has the resurrection life right at that moment. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the resurrection life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. You can join me in heaven and a host of your believers' friends in heaven when you close your eyes in this life. All you have to do is reject spiritual death and choose spiritual life. Right now. All right, well, let's close with music. June Murphy has another song from God's perspective. The song is You Don't Have to Beg.
love for you is eternal. I'll stay.
Go ahead, June. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for teaching us to love as you love, unconditionally. Help us to assess our love, and where it has conditions, root them out. Let our love be without hypocrisy. Let it be pure and holy and good. Let us see how loving as you do changes everything. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, say it with me. Amen. Make it a habit to listen to the announcements. They're posted separately. Keep current on the things going on and coming up in Barah Ministries. Discussing the lesson in prayer circle is next. Join us live or on Zoom immediately following the lesson. If you've got a biblical question, ask the pastor, pastor@barahministries.com. We're starting to get some, huh? And want us to pray for someone? Send your request to pastor@barahministries.com. Thank you for coming. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Keep on studying the Word of God every day. Thank you.